This program is made possible by the giving of the God-called partners of Renner Ministries. Get ready for a teaching that feeds your spirit and your mind, where the Word is the anchor in uncertain times, and doctrine doesn't bend to culture. We keep it simple, but dive deep, revealing a truth that strengthens us, a love that emboldens, and a mission that touches the world. Let's join Rick Renner.
Welcome to today's program. My name is Rick Renner, and I've been waiting for you. And today I'm going to continue my series, which is called Entry Points. It's a 10-part series. The subtitle says, How to Stop the Devil from Attacking You with Sickness. If you're tired of being sick, this series has an answer for you, and it comes with a study guide. And I have a new book. I write a lot of books, but this book is my first book I've ever written on the subject of healing. You know, I don't know how to write a small book. That's my challenge. But this book is so comprehensive. It's everything you need to know about healing. It is really comprehensive. We've left no stone unturned because I want to answer the questions about why Christians get sick, what they need to do to get well, how do they get well, what does God's Word really promise? And you know, I read a book by a friend named Mike Clark, and the name of the book is There's a Light at the End of Your Tunnel. And when I read this book, I asked if I could write the foreword because it's so powerful. It talks about how he, when he was diagnosed with cancer, walked from cancer into healing. And I thought that book would be so encouraging for many, many people that are dealing with health issues. But all these things, if you want to know more about them, just go online or give us a call. And when you reach out to us, let us know how to pray for you. And this week especially, if you're dealing with any health issues, or if you're knowing somebody who is, maybe it's a loved one or it's a friend, let us know. We want to pray with you. We receive so many testimonies from people that receive miracles and healings after they reach out to us for prayer. But I have to be honest, there are other people who have reached out to us for prayer and they have not received the answer yet. They're still standing in faith, but they're wondering, why did I get sick? If Jesus really purchased healing and health for me on the cross, then why did I get sick? And this week and next week, we're looking at entry points the devil uses to enter people's lives to make them sick. And so far, we've already seen that number one, the main culprit is the curse, which entered the earth in the very beginning of time. It afflicted the entire earth with all kinds of disease. It contorted everything good that God made. And that's when sickness entered into the planet. That's reason number one. Then we saw reason number two is a lack of knowledge. It creates an entry point through which the enemy enters in. And I gave my testimony that when Denise and I were growing up, we both grew up in churches that didn't know it was God's will for us to be healed and healthy. We didn't know that. And in fact, we even believed that sometimes it was God's will for us to be sick. So we just embraced it as if it was the will of God. Well, that created an entry point through which the enemy entered to make us sick. But today we're going to go to the next reason. And we're going to see today that disobedience can open a door. It can create an entry point through which the enemy can enter to make you sick. And I'm going to give you some examples. But reach for your Bible because we always use the Bible in this program. And today I want to remind you of Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. God made the Garden of Eden. It was ideal, absolutely perfect. It was full of health. It was full of prosperity. It was full of everything good. And then God said to Adam, now it's your job to keep it. And that word keep, which is in Genesis chapter 2, verse 15, means to keep, to guard, to hedge about, or to protect. And the only reason you would use that word is if there was some sinister force that was going to try to get into the garden. So God had forewarned Adam, Adam, I've given you something marvelous. It is your garden. It is your gift. Now your job is to keep it. You've got to guard it. You've got to hedge about it. You've got to protect it because there's an enemy that's going to try to get on the inside. And if you disobey me, you will create an entry point and he will come flooding in. Well, Adam disobeyed and we know what happened. The devil came flooding into the garden, and the spirit of death came with him. And suddenly, God's beautiful earth morphed into a world that was filled with thorns and thistles. It became a battlefield where they had to fight every day for existence and survival. And sickness entered the earth in that moment. Before that moment, there was no sickness. That tells you where sickness comes from. It comes from the devil, and it comes from the spirit of death. But Jesus dethroned death in our lives because we are the children of God. And according to 1 John 5:4 today, we have a faith that overcomes the world, which means if we will really nurture ourselves in the Word of God and embrace the authority that's been given to us and use the name of Jesus and stand on the promises of God's Word, we can override the spirit of death that is still working in the world. We can live above it. We can overcome it. And that includes sickness and disease. But when we come to Isaiah 1:19, the Bible says, "If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land." Notice it begins with the word if. So this is conditional. If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. The word eat implies feasting and symbolizes not just a mere meal, but it's an abundant celebration. It is a banquet. And the word good, eat the good of the land. This word good in Hebrew gives the image of abundance, blessing, prosperity, the finest riches one can imagine. It is a term that describes bounty, goods, goodness, good things, and prosperity. And here God says, generally speaking, if you're willing and if you are obedient, it will open a door for goodness. It will open a door for God's blessings to come into your life. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to be free of troubles. In life, we deal with the devil. The devil is at work in the world. The spirit of death is in the lost world system, and we have to confront it and overcome it all the time. And sometimes the devil tries to attack us. We're going to get to that. But we are promised here that if we are obedient, it opens the door for goodness to come into our life. Now, when I say be obedient, I'm talking about being obedient to the instructions of God's Word, but also being obedient to God's personal instructions to us. We have to stay in a place of obedience if we want to experience the good of the land. In Ephesians 4:27, Paul said, "Neither give place to the devil." And that word place is the Greek word topos. Now remember, we're talking about entry points that the devil tries to use to access us. Well, when you come to this verse, it says, "Neither give place." It's talking about an entry point. Just as real as any door or any window that is open, the devil's looking for a place, and that Greek word topos, which is the word place, signifies a distinct, defined geographical location, is a territory, province, region, or specific zone. It's where we get the word for a topographical map, which means just as real as any place on the map, just as real as any open door or any open window, the devil's looking for an open door or an access point. And that's why we have to be very careful not to give one to him. Jesus said in John chapter 15, speaking of himself, he was telling the disciples, "The prince of this world is coming to me, but he has no place in me." It was the equivalent of saying, every door is closed, every window is sealed, there's no cracks in me. The devil can circle me and circle me and circle me and circle me, but he has no access to me. He has no entry point, so he's wasting his time. And here we find that when we live a life that is right and when we're walking in obedience, it enables us to keep every door closed, every window sealed, every crack completely sealed tight, and it prohibits the enemy from coming into our lives. And just like Adam was told to keep the garden, we have to realize that our lives are a gift given to us by God, and God expects us to keep them. God said to Adam, "You keep the garden." In New Testament language, God said to Adam, "Don't give place to the devil." Now, the truth is, we're more than conquerors through Christ. We read that in Romans 8:37. And we know that 1 John 4:4 says, "Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." And that is absolutely the truth. But it doesn't change the fact that in Ephesians 4:27, Paul also said, "Neither give place," don't give an entry point, don't give access to the devil. Because if you give him a place, just like He did in the beginning, He will take that place and come raging into your life. And one way the devil comes raging into our life, one of the consequences is sickness and disease. Now, in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, Peter said, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." That word vigilant is the Greek word Gregorio. If your name is Greg or Gregory, that's where your name comes from. And listen to what the word vigilant means. It portrays one who is watchful as opposed to someone who is careless and non-attentive. It implies giving strict attention to something or being cautious and on high alert. So when the Bible tells us to be vigilant, it means there's some evil force that's trying to get into our life. It's trying to get into our business. It's trying to get into our family. The devil wants to steal, kill, and destroy, and he's looking for a way to get in so he can do it. And so now Peter says you need to be on high alert. Don't be sleepy. Don't fall asleep on the job. You need to be attentive. You need to be vigilant because your adversary, the devil. And the word adversary is the Greek word antidikos. Now, this is very important. Please listen to this. It describes a prosecuting attorney who argues against the accused. It is a prosecutor who brings a guilty charge against a person on the basis of information. Now, a prosecutor can do nothing to you unless you've done something wrong. But when a prosecutor has discovered you've committed a crime, then he has a charge to bring against you. Now he has a way to bring you down. He looks for something you've done wrong and uses it to take you down. And according to Peter, the devil works like a prosecutor. He's watching us. It's why we need to live upright lives. It's why we need to live in obedience to the Word of God. The devil's looking for any gap, any entry point, any access point, any area where we've had a mishap or we've been disobedient to the Word of God or to God's personal instructions to us. And when he finds it, he says, "There it is. That's the way I'm going to get in. That's the way I'm going to take them down." Now, there are many ways we can open a door to the devil, but we're specifically focusing on how the devil comes in to make people sick. And sometimes people get sick because they're not living in obedience. When we stray from God's Word, we inadvertently open a door to adverse circumstances. But beyond not adhering to God's written Word, there are many personal instructions which God speaks to us. And if we don't fall in line and obey God's personal instructions, it can also result in us being sick. And I'm thinking about two remarkable men of God. And by the way, both of them were prophets, both of them, and both of them experienced sickness. The first man had been given specific instructions by the Lord to focus on a new aspect of his ministry, and he didn't want to do it. He didn't enjoy it. He didn't feel comfortable with it, and he just persistently veered away from what the Lord had instructed him to do. And lo and behold, he got sick and was diagnosed with cancer. And he said to the Lord, "What in the world has happened to me, that I have developed cancer? Here I am laying hands on people and praying for people that are being healed, and I have cancer." And the Lord spoke to him and said, "You opened a door because you veered from what I told you to do. Your disobedience created this." The second man was a nationally known prophet that has impacted many of our lives. I'm not going to give his name, but his testimony is amazing. And lo and behold, here he is, a man who has a spiritual knack to discern things that are going to happen in the future, and he ends up falling with a broken arm. And in the hospital, he said, "Lord, how in the world did I not perceive that I was going to fall and break my arm? How did this happen to me when I'm so perceptive about many things?" And the Lord said, "It's because you've been disobedient to my personal instructions to you," and it opened a door for sickness. Well, in the first case, the man who was diagnosed with cancer, once he repented for disobedience, he was healed. In the second case, the man who broke his arm, when he repented for being disobedient to God's personal instructions, within a very short period of time, he was fully restored. And here we have two examples of two prophets. And when you go to the Old Testament, we find examples of kings who were given specific instructions from the Lord, which they did not obey, and it cut their lives short. That was not the will of God. But my friends, we have to understand the devil's looking for a way to get in. And when we're not willing and we're not obedient, we don't eat the good of the land. And in fact, adverse things happen to us. Now, I'm going to give you my own personal testimony about what happened when I was disobedient. In 1980, I was living in Fort Smith, Arkansas, working on the staff of a big Baptist church. And in Fort Smith, there was a military base called Fort Chaffee. Well, in 1980, Castro in Cuba did a very cunning thing. He sent to the United States what was perceived to be 125,000 refugees, when in fact they were not refugees at all. He just emptied all of his prisons and sent all the prisoners to the United States. And the United States didn't realize they were prisoners, so they just threw open their arms and received them. And lo and behold, now America is inundated with 125,000 Cuban prisoners, many of them hardened criminals, and many of them with disease, including tropical diseases. Well, because we lived in Fort Smith and Fort Chaffee was nearby, and because the U.S. government didn't know what to do with all these prisoners, they began to put them in army bases across America, and Fort Chaffee was one of the sites where those prisoners began to come. And because we lived in Fort Smith and we believed in the Great Commission, we just believed it was our duty to go to Fort Chaffee and to witness to those people who had just arrived and preach the gospel. So myself, along with others from our church, we were regularly going to the Fort Chaffee to preach the gospel. And it was during that time that I became very strangely ill. I mean, really strangely ill. And it was a sickness that lingered and lingered and lingered. And finally, one day I woke up in the morning and I looked in the mirror. And when I looked in the mirror, I couldn't even recognize that it was me. It looked like my entire face had been burned. I had wrinkles that made me look like I was an elderly man. And when I looked at my hands, the fever that I had that night was so intense that all the skin on my hands had peeled off during the night. So I quickly rushed to the hospital. And when I walked into the emergency room, they looked at me in shock. And within minutes, I was admitted to the hospital, surrounded by a sea of doctors and nurses trying to diagnose what was wrong with me. And they said, "Rick, you have a tropical fever that doesn't even exist in the United States." Well, I knew I picked it up at Fort Chaffee. And laying there in my bed, I said, "Lord, how did this happen to me? Here I am serving you, walking in faith, embracing the promises that healing and health belongs to me because of the work of the cross and the resurrection. So how did this happen to me?" And the Holy Spirit quietly and very kindly said, "Rick, you've been living in disobedience." I said, "What? What do you mean disobedience? I'm obeying you. I'm preaching. I'm serving. Here I'm going to Fort Chaffee to minister to all these new Cuban refugees. How am I being disobedient?" And the Holy Spirit said, "Here it is. I told you to marry Denise Roberson, and you have persistently disobeyed me." Well, that was the truth. I knew I was supposed to marry Denise, but I was terrified of the subject of marriage. So I kept walking away from it, walking away from it. And the Lord said, "It is your personal disobedience that has opened the door for the devil to come raging in to afflict you with this tropical disease, which didn't even exist in the state of Arkansas where I was living." How in the world did this happen? When the Holy Spirit told me it was my disobedience that opened the door, number one, I repented. Number two, I picked up the phone, I called Denise. And immediately, I began to nurture that relationship. And in a very short time, we were married. I closed the door to that attack. Now, we have an amazing verse in James chapter 4, verse 7, which says, "Submit yourselves, therefore, to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." Most people just jump right to the part of the verse which says, "Resist the devil and he'll flee from you." But the first part says, "Submit." And that word submit means to align yourself properly under the authority of God to obey him. And the word submit also describes someone who hides behind somebody else's back. And here we find that when we submit to God's authority and when we submit to His written word and to His personal instructions, we align ourselves under His authority and suddenly we stand behind Him. He's a lot bigger than we are. And when we're submitted to Him, then we have the authority to resist the devil. And James 4:7 says, He will flee from you. And the word flee, listen to this, the Greek word fuge means to flee, to take flight, to run away, to move one's feet as fast as possible or to escape. It pictures someone's feet barely touching the ground as he flees from danger. And if you've discovered that you have any area of disobedience in your life, it's better for you to say, Lord, I am sorry, I am wrong. I am submitting myself to you. I'm getting back in alignment under your authority. I'm going to do what you've told me to do. And when you are in that position, suddenly you have power to resist that sickness, to resist that affliction, and it will flee from you. That is the promise of Scripture. But it might be that there's an area of disobedience in your life that has opened the door for an attack of sickness or a bout of disease. Now, that may not be the reason, but it might be. And so it's worth taking a look at it. But when we come back tomorrow, we're going to see another open door is, are you ready for this? Foolishness. Ay, ay, ay. Be sure to see tomorrow's episode because it will help you. You might say, oh me, oh my, because it really confronts everyone about how we inadvertently, through acts of foolishness, open doors for the devil to get in and to rob us of the healing and health that really was purchased by Jesus on the cross. I'll be back in just a moment, and I'm going to pray for you. Someone has asked, Brother Rick, what do you do with your doubts when you don't see answers to your prayers? Well, first of all, I know I'm going to see a result. Maybe I haven't seen it yet, but we're told in 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15, that if we pray anything according to God's will, that means according to the Bible. So you've got to pray scripturally. You've got to pray in agreement with what's written in the Word of God. If any man pray according to his will, it says he hears us, which means God doesn't hear us because we're crying, or He doesn't hear us because of our intensity. When we speak the Word of God in prayer, it opens the ears of God. If we pray anything according to His will, He hears us. The Bible says that. It goes on to say, and if He hears us, then we know we have the petitions that we ask of Him. And if you'll just stay in faith and keep speaking the Word, you've got the guarantee that God will hear you and God will do what needs to be done.
The devil is looking for a way to access your life, and if every door is not shut, he will find a way in. In Rick Renner's 10-part series, Entry Points, How to Stop the Devil from Attacking You with Sickness, you'll learn how to walk in your healing, experiencing it, enjoying it, and making sure every door to the devil is closed permanently. Rick will teach you how to guard your life and walk in God's protection, how to identify hidden entry points in your life, how to shut the door of ignorance and claim the health Jesus purchased for you. Available in digital or physical formats, starting at just $20, this series will help you stop the devil in his tracks. In addition to this teaching series, we are offering you Rick's newest book, Everything You Need to Know About Healing, for $37. And There's a Light at the End of Your Tunnel by Mike Clark for $20. These books will be your roadmap to walking in the healing Jesus purchased for you. Order these powerful books today. Don't miss this special offer. The series Entry Points, How to Stop the Devil from Attacking You with Sickness, and the books Everything You Need to Know About Healing and There's a Light at the End of Your Tunnel. Visit Renner.org to order. Call the number on your screen or scan the QR code now. Call or go online now.
Proverbs 10:21 says, the lips of the righteous feed many. And that verse is mine. I know that God has called me to teach the Word of God to people all over the world. And my friends, there are people crying out for somebody to bring them the trusted teaching of the Bible. And I know that is my God-given assignment. And I'm able to do it because of the anointing and the grace of God and because of partners who sow their resources into this ministry. They put the fuel in the tank so we can get the trusted teaching of the Bible to people around the planet. And I want to ask you today, if you're not a partner with our ministry yet, would you please pray about becoming a partner? Become a part of our giving team and a part of our family, working with me and my wife and my family and our team as we take the trusted teaching of the Bible to people around the world. We really need you. And the moment you become a partner, we're going to send you my book called Life in the Combat Zone, because this is always a gift we give to those who become a part of our partner family. But I invite you to join us, and I thank you in advance for helping us to take the trusted teaching of the Bible to people around the world. We have covered a lot of material today as I've been teaching entry points, how to stop the devil from attacking you with sickness. You can put up a barricade, you can stop him, you can close every door so he no longer access you with sickness, illness, and disease. This comes with a great study guide, and I'm really excited about my first book on healing. In all these years, I've never written a book just dedicated to healing, and finally I did, and it's called Everything You Need to Know About Healing. It is so comprehensive. I've written this book in a way that I believe is going to really help you very practically walk into the healing and health that Jesus purchased for you on the cross. And there's a book that has really touched my life. I believe it will touch yours as well, called There's a Light at the End of Your Tunnel, the testimony of Michael Clark about how he walked from a diagnosis of cancer into healing. And it's just so helpful. I know it would be a blessing to you and to many other people. But either go online or give us a call to find out more about all these wonderful resources. And please let us know how to pray for you. We're praying for you anyhow, but when you let us know how to pray, we're going to do a better job. But Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus that healing and health belongs to us. Help us to walk in obedience, not disobedience, and to close every door to the devil. In Jesus' name, amen. Until the next program, remember, Ecclesiastes 8:4 says, where the word of a king is, there is power.
If you've never received Jesus as your Savior and Lord, now is the time for you to experience a new life Jesus has to give you. Pray this prayer with me right now. Lord, I repent of my sin and receive you as my Savior and Lord. Wash away my sin and make me completely new. I thank you that my sin is removed and Satan no longer has any right to lay claim on me. I faithfully promise that I will serve you as my Lord for the rest of my life. Amen.
If you just prayed the prayer of salvation with us, would you please let us know by going to renner.org/salvation? We would love to connect with you. Thank you for joining Rick Renner today. For more information about Renner Ministries and product resources, visit renner.org.